All right. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach. Here we are, another feast of Yahweh. And one exciting feast we have now is Pentecost or Shavuot. Amazing time with Yahweh's Spirit being poured out on that very first Shavuot. And 2,000 years later, as Yahweh works in the circular, His Spirit being poured out again. So I have a message today called The Importance of Our Work Today. The importance of our work today. I want to start in Matthew 24 and verse 3. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And it says, as he, Yeshua, was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what is the sign of your coming in the end of the age? So it's not hard to see what this is talking about, right? It's not a mysterious prophecy, but it's very simple. What are the signs of your coming in the end of the age? And answering, Yeshua said to them, see that no man deceives you. So the first thing we know, there'll be great deception as we see today. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Messiah, and they will cause many to be deceived. We see that out there. People claiming to be believers in Yeshua, into all kinds of false doctrines and all the different things that we see. For you are bound to hear of revolutions and rumors of wars, right? We've had this. Watch out and do not be disturbed, for it is necessary that all these things happen, but the end is not yet, right? So we had great world wars, even World War I and World War II, and all different world wars worldwide, but the end was not yet. For a nation will be raised against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and plagues and earthquakes against many places, as we're seeing. If you look at the rise of earthquakes from, let's say, 1900 all the way until today, we see every decade the magnitude and intensity of earthquakes is increasing. He says, but all things are a beginning of sorrows. So we've only been to this point, to the beginning of sorrows, and now we're ready to go to the next step in the end time. They will deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Wow. We see this today with the Bible being called hate speech. And just recently in the United States of Babylon, trying to pass a new law from the new president there, Biden, to have, if you believe you're an Israelite, you know, that it is considered hate speech and white supremacy. So all these things are happening. And then many will be offended. They will deliver up one another and will hate one another. Wow, it couldn't be more than we're seeing today. And many false prophets will be raised and will deceive many. And it's amazing how many people that are not cherishing the truth are going on the internet and looking at all this evil stuff that's out there. And because lawlessness will have multiplied, the love of many will wax cold. Wow. And I do think that this whole pandemic that has been out there and forcing people to, you know, wear masks and children to wear masks, I do think psychologically that it does help to have people not have natural affection and natural emotions the way they have since creation. But that's for another story. And then the last verse for now, but the one who endures to the end, that one will have eternal life. So here we are. You know, all these things are talking about the time we're living in today. We see the evil of the world, the rejection of Yahweh, even from religious circles, right? You know, any major religion in the world today is also in commercial Babylon and doing all these things we're seeing here. Fake news, you know, that the propaganda that's in the news, you could not believe anything that you see in the regular news. And to be honest to you, I don't even know why even the average person on the street would want to be part of Facebook or any of these things anymore when, you know, it's like Russian propaganda, you know. The only thing is it's not Russian propaganda anymore. It's China propaganda and America propaganda. But why would you want to be on something that just won't let you even speak what you want to say? But fake news, global government trying to control people, force lockdowns, vaccinations, you know, all these things. So we can understand why people would get fearful, as it says. You know, we can understand that. And we're seeing it. We're seeing that it's a fearful time in the world, an uneasy time. But as verse 13 states, we must endure until the end and keep the focus on our work today. So a lot of these things, although they're prophesied and there's different reasons why they're happening, we can't allow the things around us to stop us from the main goal that Yahweh has given us today. Because look in the very next verse. The very next verse, verse 14 says, "And this good news of the kingdom will be published in all the earth for a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Right? So the end will not come before this good news is published. And I know there have been organizations and churches and even people that have thought that their work is the fulfillment of this, you know, a particular work, a particular ministry, a particular congregation. But when you look at it, the good news of the kingdom will be published for all nations. And what is that good news? The good news is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and the rest of the New Testament that gives interpretation to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the life, the death, and the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah, and the forgiveness of sins through his shed blood. And that's why I do believe that the Hebraic Roots Bible is a major part of this, because it's publishing the truth. And at least in the English language, like I said, you know, there's Aramaic Bibles and Hebrew Bibles and Bibles in all different kinds of language, Romanian Bible and Czechoslovakian Bible and you name it, Chinese Bibles. So you have all these different Bibles, right? And what good is our Bible to someone who doesn't speak English? But I think as far as an English translation, and English is the world language today because it's the computer language, although you can get, you know, computers in any language today, but because it started in English, and English really is a world language, I do believe that the publishing of the Hebraic Roots Bible in English, being the closest translation to the original, I think is a big part of this. So when we're looking at the importance of our work today, right, our congregation is out there, you know, not just for humanitarian work, or not just to make people feel good, or not just to, you know, be doing whatever, but our congregation is out there to bring this good news message. That's what it's all about. That's the importance of our work today. The message is about the good news. And if you don't have the good news, you could do all the good things you want. You want to know something? The Catholic Church, right, that did a lot of bad things through history. But today, if you look, the Catholic Church does a lot of good things. They have all kinds of help to poor people and orphans and all kinds of hospitals. They do a lot of things that they do good, but they don't have the good news of Yeshua. They don't have his message. So as good as any church or person or whoever can do, if you don't have the original message from the apostles that came from Jerusalem, well, then you're not preaching the good news. So again, it's not to put down these other people, because hey, praise Yahweh for any good that anybody does, no matter who they are, right? But today we're talking about the importance of our work today. The good news of the kingdom, that Yahweh has given us something spiritually that he hasn't given other people, but he wants other people to have it. But the way they're going to get it is through what we're doing. It's through our end time work that they're getting it. Because Yahweh could have easily done it another way. He could have just had angels come and promote the good news. Or he could have, you know, there's 100 different ways he could have did it. But what he did was, he did it through and decided through Yeshua's congregation, Yeshua's body, Yeshua's people, that we would work together in unity, in Echad, all of us working toward that one goal of bringing salvation to other people. So that's what it's all about today, right? Matthew 28, go to the end of the book here. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. "And coming up, Yeshua talked with them." Talked with who? Talked with his disciples, right? The 12 apostles, "saying to them, all authority in heaven and earth was given to me." And we know that, right? "Then having gone, disciple all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," the Ruach HaKodesh, "teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age." Amen. Amen means so be it. It's a Hebrew word, and it's there in the original manuscripts, right? So the key to it is, this is our commission. This is the Great Commission. And this has been the commission for all believers for the last 2,000 years. But in the end time, in the last generation, it is specifically given to the congregation of Yeshua to bring this good news worldwide. Okay, so it's got to be our vocation. This should be the most important thing in our life. This should be what our life is centered on. This should be what our ministry is centered on. And it should be something we're praying about every single day. Not just praying for ourselves and praying maybe for friends and family members, but praying for the work of Yahweh, praying for this great commission that Yahweh has given us. And again, because I want to show you today, the stakes are really high. And what are the consequences if we fail at our job? Malachi 4 in verse 4 says, "Remember the Torah of my servant Moses, Moshe, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and the judgments." So again, Malachi, a great book. You know, we probably will get into that when we get started again with our Bible study soon, our Erev Shabbat Bible study. But I love the book of Malachi. There's so much in there, just four little chapters. And it's an end time book. And what does he say? That he's telling people, remember the Torah of Moses. So the Torah certainly isn't done away. He says, "Behold, I am sending you Eliyahu the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he will turn the heart of the fathers to the sons and the heart of the sons to the father, that I not come and strike the earth with utter destruction." So I believe we're part of this ministry. I believe collectively all of us are part of the Eliyahu ministry. And what happens if this ministry fails? Look what happens. "That I not come and strike the earth with utter destruction." If we don't fulfill our commission to bring this good news to people, right, and to help them to change, the whole earth will come to destruction. So the stakes are really, really high that we're up against here, right? Many will perish. It's the most important job in the world. There's no more important job than the great commission that we have in the end time. If we go to Jacob, the fifth chapter, in verse 19, it says, "Brethren, if anyone among you goes astray from the truth and anyone turns him back, know that the one turning a sinner from the error of his way will restore his soul and will hide a multitude of sins." Wow. So, you know, Yahweh's word says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And we know that all of us are sinners and all of us deserve death. And it's only by Yahweh's mercy and Yahweh's grace are we going to receive eternal life as a free gift from him. But how great it is that knowing that Yahweh says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life, that if we bring someone else to salvation, that might be the very thing that saves our life in the end time. That might be the very thing that turns Yahweh from judgment on us and helps us to also receive eternal life, right? The one turning a sinner from the error of his way will restore his soul from death and hide a multitude of sins, because the sins the person won't be doing, you know. Let's go to Judah, the book of Judah, first chapter and verse 20, because the other thing is, though, we do have to be smart about this. We have to be, Bible says, wise as serpents, gentle as doves, and we have to make sure we're not wasting time with people who have no interest. So it's not like Jehovah Witnesses that actually will punch a time clock, and it's not about really saving people. It's more about putting in time. You know, you're a junior Weeblo, and then you're a senior Weeblo, and you put in 30 hours a week, and you put in 40 hours a week, but Yahweh's not looking for that. Yahweh's not looking for us to punch a time clock. Yahweh is looking for us to bear fruit. He's looking for this to be the vocation of our life and to bear fruit. And this is why in Judah 1 and verse 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up by your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of Yahweh, eagerly awaiting the mercy of our Master Yeshua Messiah to everlasting life. In pity some, but making a distinction, but save others with fear, snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment being stained from the flesh." So yes, we need to make that distinction, because there's people that you know, they might be kidding you, or they might act like they have interest in the truth. Sometimes they're just actually ploys of Satan trying to steal your time. And then there's other people that come to the congregation for a short time and then they don't care anymore. They just come and go, like the parable of the sower and the seed. And you have to make that distinction. There are some that we should go after and seek and try to see if we can help them back. But then there's others that totally turn away and want nothing to do with you or the truth or anything else, that we just have to shake the dust and move on from. So this is something that you need to pray, but it says you have to pity some, but making a distinction that the ones that have no desire We have to be wise to know who is seeking the truth and who is not. Because remember, the Laodicean only wants to justify themselves. And there's a lot of people out there that will love to talk to you about religion just to justify themselves, but they're not seeking the work of Yahweh. They're not seeking the congregation of Yahweh. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 through 8. It says, "For this reason I remind you to stir up the gift of Yahweh." What's the gift of Yahweh? The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. This is the day that it was given. This is the day we're talking about, right? So stir up the gift of Yahweh, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? By the laying on of hands of an elder of Yahweh, someone who's qualified to do that. He says, "For Yahweh did not give a spirit of cowardice to us, but of power and love and good discipline. Then do not be ashamed of the testimony of our master, nor of me his prisoner, but suffer hardship with the good news according to the power of Yahweh." So, okay, it's a great vocation. You know, like I always say, I mentioned this in other messages, the bumper sticker I saw one time, minister of Yahweh, the pay is not good, but the retirement plan is excellent. Retirement plan is eternal life in his kingdom, right? So it's not our job now is not a job that's looked at as something good to the world. It's not a job that's easy. It's a job that's going to come with a lot of suffering and persecution. Why? Because that's what's going to prepare us. You know, somebody asked me recently, why would Yahweh allow his people to suffer? That doesn't make any sense. And it's like, no, it makes a lot of sense, because we're human natures. We're human beings with a human nature that is evil and selfish and wicked and prideful. And the only way to humble ourselves is through suffering. Suffering is a good thing. It's just a matter of how you look at it, you know. But suffering is a good thing, and suffering actually draws us closer to Yahweh. And why did Yeshua suffer? Yeshua, who did no wrong, but set as an example of suffering. So it's not a bad thing to suffer. And we have to realize that right at the beginning, and especially for new people, that you're entering a body that's a 2,000-year-old suffering body. From Yeshua all the way on, look in the Middle Ages and the horrible persecution and martyrism that went on with our brothers and sisters who were Paulicians and Waldenses and Sabbatai and all the other groups in the Middle Ages. But yet it purified their faith, you know, that anything precious is purified through fire, right? If it's not precious, if it's plastic and you're thrown in that fire, not only is it going to be destroyed, but it even stinks horrible. Plastic is one of the worst things, and toxic to burn. But if you put gold in fire, what happens? It purifies it. It purifies it and cleanses it. And that's what our trials are like. And this is why we have to understand that our job isn't going to be easy. And it is going to have trials and suffering. But in the long run, it's all going to work for the good, because it's going to make us the person Yahweh wants us to be. And it's going to change us from the person that we are today. Matthew 24 and verse 20. It says, "And pray that your flight will not occur in winter, nor on the Sabbath. For there will be great suffering, such as not has happened from the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will be. And except those days were shortened, not any flesh would live. But on account of the chosen, those days will be shortened. Many are called, few are chosen," right? And the whole reason that the whole world isn't going to wind up getting burned up is because of Yahweh's first fruits. So how important is our job? And it's not because Yahweh is a respecter of person. It's not because he loves us more than he loves anybody else he created. It's because of the work we're doing. That if it wasn't for the first fruits, if it wasn't for the chosen, if it wasn't for us, because of the work we're doing for Yahweh, nobody would make it. There'd be no flesh saved. But because of Yahweh's first fruits, his chosen, yes, he will shorten those days. And here we are. How much will he shorten them? We don't know. I hope by a lot. I wish his kingdom would come tomorrow. But we still have a work to do. And you know what? Depending on how fast we do our work, that might depend on how much he'll shorten those days. So if we really love our neighbors, ourselves, and we really pity the world who's going to go through a lot of suffering, we will work day and night to get our work done so that Yahweh can shorten the days. So it really depends on us. And if not, not only do we risk losing our own salvation if we're not fully involved in the work of Yahweh, but we're also going to allow the world to go longer and more suffering to come. So, like I said, the stakes are really high. It's the most important work in the world today, and we really need to make sure that it's our first vocation in life, you know. Genesis 18, just to show you an example of this, does it really make a difference? Does it make a difference? And yes, it does. Genesis 18 and verse 23. This is the story after Yeshua and the two cherubs met Abraham, right? And Abraham and Sarah made some food for them. And then the two cherubs went to Sodom, where Sodom was going to be destroyed. And Abraham stayed back, right? Because Abraham is going to try to convince Yahweh of something. He's going to try to convince Yahweh, even if there's just a few righteous people, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? So let's read the story and see how it goes here. Genesis 18 and verse 23. Start in verse 23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Is it so? Will you cut off the righteous with the wicked?" He's talking to Yahweh. "Perhaps there are 50 righteous within the city. Is it so that you will cut off and will spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous ones that are within it?" So remember, you've got hundreds of thousands of people that are living in this area because it's Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities, and they were large areas down there because this is at the time before the Dead Sea became the Dead Sea. It's the time when it was plush and green and everything. So Yahweh's ready to destroy all of it. And Abraham's saying, if there's even 50 righteous, would you spare it? And look what it says. "Far be it from you to act in this way, to put to death the righteous with the wicked. Far be it from you, the judge of all the earth. Shall he not do right?" And then Yahweh answers. And Yahweh said, "If I find 50 righteous within the city in Sodom, then I will spare all the place because of them." So no, Yahweh doesn't want to destroy the righteous with the wicked. And just like I said, just like we just read, if it wasn't for his first fruits, nobody would be saved. But because of the first fruits, he will cut the time short, right? And then Abraham answers and says, "Behold, I pray, I have undertaken to speak to Yahweh, and I am dust and ash. Perhaps there will be lacking 5 from the 50 righteous. Will you destroy the whole city because there's 5 less?" And he said, "If I find 45 there, I will not destroy." And he said, and he continued to speak to him, to Yahweh, and said, "Perhaps 40 will be there." And he said, "I will not do it because of 40. And he said, "Please, Yahweh, do not be angry that I may speak. Perhaps 30 will be there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, I pray, I have undertaken to speak to Adonai. Perhaps 20 will be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy because of the 20. And he said, "I pray, let not Yahweh be angry that I may speak only this time. Perhaps 10 will be there." And he said, "I will not destroy because of the 10. And when Yahweh had finished speaking to Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned to his place. And this is why today, that Jewish people, in order to start a synagogue, you need at least 10 men there to have a quorum, what they call. You know, to start a synagogue, you have to have at least 10 men. From this scripture here, that Yahweh says, if I can find 10 righteous men, I will spare the city because of the 10 righteous men. And unfortunately, in the end times we're living in, though, right, you don't find that many. So you have to think about this, you know, that Yahweh is sparing the world in the end for the sake of his people that are doing his work. If we're not doing his work, there's no reason why Yahweh would spare us. There's no reason for it, because that's what we should be about. And if you look at Jeremiah 5, this is the sad part about it, right? Was there even 10 righteous when Yahweh destroyed Jerusalem? Jeremiah 5 and verse 1, he says, "Roam around in Jerusalem's streets and see now and know, and seek in her plazas, if you can find a man, one. If there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, and I will pardon her. And though they ask, 'Does Yahweh live?' surely they swear falsely." Right? So they're saying, "As Yahweh lives," but they're swearing falsely. "Oh, Yahweh, are not your eyes for the truth? You struck them, but they felt no pain. You consumed them, yet they refused to take correction. They made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return." So you can equate this to physical Jerusalem today. I mean, there's all kinds of evil and homosexuality and transgenders and everything. And, you know, they just got a new government that's signed in Israel, and it's shocking that the very right-wing Yamina group, you know, with Naftali Bennett, who I know personally, he's actually taught at our school that we've had there. And this guy was very, very pro-Israel and pro-nationalist, that he would be the head of a government that wants the one of their main things to be all for the lesbian and gays and all that stuff. So, wow, that's kind of shocking to me. You know, we'll see how it goes. You know, reserve judgment because the government just got in there. But that's that. There's, I think, eight different parties that are part of this new government. And except for his party, that's the main thing of all of them, to bring more rights to the lesbian and gays and all that stuff, and also to have stores and buses and everything running throughout the whole country now on Shabbat. Right now, certain cities have done it, but they want to do it the whole way. So Yahweh says, find me one person. He says, no, you can't find one. You can't find one. But this isn't to just, this sermon is not about what's going on today in Jerusalem and Israel, because this is all over the world. This is all over the world. You know, where can you find righteous people? You can't. You know, the world is very evil and wicked today, and because of the indoctrination that's coming from social media and the internet, you know, Satan is able to broadcast. He's the prince of the power of the airwaves, and he's able to broadcast all this evil stuff worldwide. And I'm amazed and I'm shocked at how quick it will change. If you remember in the United States, in 1998, which is only 23 years ago, Bill Clinton, President Clinton at the time, who's a liberal Democrat, he's certainly not a conservative, signed into law the Defense of Marriage Act, that marriage is only between a man and a woman. And it's not that he believed it, but he had to sign that because that's what the majority of people believed. And in just 23 short years, now the vast amount of Americans believe it doesn't matter if two gay men, two gay women, whatever. And that's not just in America. That's in most places in the world today. So you see how fast, because people, they don't have strong wills, and they don't have a strong belief system, and they're able to be indoctrinated, and they're able to be changed. And that's the way human beings are. And like I said, Satan is bringing his indoctrination day and night, you know, through the false prophet of the internet, you know, and the false prophet of all these things that are out there. And unfortunately, this is why our work is even more important, because I've said this many times, you know, there'll be more people lost in our generation than any other generation from the days of Adam till today. And I mean, Yeshua said, remember when he was rejected by Capernaum and the different cities there, Chorazim, and what did he say? It'll be more tranquil for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment than for you. So it shows you, not everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah is going to the lake of fire either. And I believe it's the same today that Yahweh would say. It'll be more tranquil for Sodom and Gomorrah than the wickedness of most of what's going on in the world today. So again, I only bring this up in this sermon to show that why our work is so important, because it's not an easy work. Right? It's not an easy work because of the way the world is, but there still are people out there. You know, remember, and even within believers, even within true believers, people who are Sabbath keepers, people maybe even use the name Yahweh or Yeshua, whatever, that there's a lot of Laodiceans within all the body of believers today. Christianity is basically a Laodicean church. All of them put together mostly are Laodicean. But there are people within these organizations that are being called by Yahweh. You know, most of us came out of somewhere. We came out of some false organization into the truth. So this is why we have to realize the importance of our job. Because every life is important to Yahweh. Every single life, every single soul is important to Yahweh. But the way he is going to get to these people is through the work we're doing. And praise Yahweh, I'm telling you, a week does not go by that we don't only get orders for the Hebraic Roots Bible, but that people will write and say how that Bible has changed their life. Not that I changed their life, or not that anything else, but it's the word of Yahweh that changes people. And we have to get this word out to them. And that's the thing that's going to convict people. And that's the thing that will get people to understand how to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, because it's only the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that will change people. And most people don't know it. Probably, I'd say more than 90% of the people in the world today that have been baptized don't have the Holy Spirit, because they were never baptized properly. They were never baptized by a true elder of Yahweh. They never had hands laid on them. So this is why it's extremely important that we get the word out, right? So let's go to Romans 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. Because how can they get this word? How on earth can they get this word if we don't bring it to them? If we don't, the people of Yahweh, right? And I say this when I look at the Amish. You know, over the last 4 or 5 years, we've been looking at the Amish. I visited the Amish. We've studied the Amish. And we're seeing changes in our congregation that we need to make that are more like the Amish, of coming out of the world, of getting rid of secular things, right? And yet the Amish, they don't have proper doctrine. They don't have true doctrine. You know, they have a great family lifestyle, which is really, really good for us to learn from. But they don't have the proper doctrine. And I say that we should be ashamed of ourselves, that we have the doctrine and we're not living like the Amish. That they can be so set apart from the world and so separated from all the things of the world, and they don't even have the right doctrine. And here we are, we have it. Too much is given, much is required. The more given, the more will be expected. And your mind is open. You know, look at the 25 lessons that we have online. You know, look at the Sabbath and the holy days and Yahweh's calendar and true holiness and coming out of the world and all the different things that are in there, what it takes to be a true believer. Yahweh has opened up our mind to all these things, and shame on us if we're not doing it. Shame on us if we're not changing the way He wants us to change. So if we don't bring this message, who would? Nobody else has the message. And yet Yeshua said if He had to, the rocks will cry out. I always said that would be the saddest day in my life if I'm walking down the street and I heard a rock crying out and giving the good news, because then I would know we failed. You know. So Romans 10 and verse 13 says, "For everyone, whoever may call on the name of Yahweh will be saved." Praise Yahweh. We're going to read that scripture later. "How then may they call on one whom they have not believed? And how may they believe one whom they have not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they are not sent? Even as it has been written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good news," right? So it's a collective thing. So not every single person in our congregation is an evangelist or a pastor or even a teacher, but everybody in our congregation should have the vocation of bringing this good news to the world. That's a collective job for all of us. And I want to go over today how all of us may have different parts of that job. All of us may have different responsibilities in that job. But there's not a person within our congregation that doesn't have responsibility to bring it one way or another. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit as we go on here now. You know, Noah's flood came because Adam failed at his job to bring, you know, to bring the message that Yahweh had given him to the world. We don't want to be like Adam. We want to be like the second Adam. We want to be like Yeshua. We want to bring the real good news message. We don't want to be like the first Adam. We don't want to be like Adam. We don't want to fail at our job to bring it. Haggai 1 in verse 5. "Because I know, like I said, sometimes the cares of the world, and it's ironic, it doesn't matter whether things are going great, right? And the economy's going good and everybody's working and everybody's doing good, because it says in Deuteronomy, don't forget Yahweh during the good times, right? And it doesn't matter if things are real bad, because now as you're in a pandemic and people are scared, there's always a reason that people could forget Yahweh. They can forget Him during the good times, they can forget Him during the bad times. And that's why, what did King David ask Yahweh? He said, "Don't make me too rich that I forget You, or too poor that I beg." You know, it's not good to be too rich and it's not good to be too poor. You want to be in that spot where you're remembering Yahweh for everything. And we want to make sure, you know, during the good or during the bad, that we're not forgetting Yahweh, who gave us everything that we have in our life. So in Haggai 1 and verse 5, it says, "And now, so says Yahweh of hosts, set your heart on your ways. Set your heart on your ways. This is where everybody's got to go in their prayer closet. And you have to look at your ways and you have to look at your life. And you have to really see, am I giving 100% to the work of Yahweh that he called me for? Because many are called and few are chosen. And he could have just as easily called somebody else. And we see the parables in there. The ones that aren't coming to the wedding supper, Yahweh says, not one will enter my kingdom. Go in the highways and the byways in the end times that we're in now. And there's a lot of people that are not going to make the kingdom because they're not making this their first vocation. He says, you have so much and you bring in little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, but you're not filled. You dress, but there's no warmth to one. Yea, one earning wages earns his wages to put it in a bag with holes. And wow, can we understand that today? You know, when you look at in the last 100 years how prices have gone up, and it doesn't matter how much you make, you know. Even in Babylon today, most people, even if they're making $100,000 a year with their property taxes and their this tax and that tax and food prices and everything else, very few people are really making a lot of money because that's what it is. And that's why it's such an evil, wicked system. Because it's a system where you earn your wages and you put it in a bag with holes. You know, it goes out as quick as it comes in. So says Yahweh of hosts, set your heart on your ways. Go up the mountain and bring wood and build this house. And I will be pleased with it and I will be glorified, says Yahweh. Go up the mountain and bring wood and build this house, the house of Yahweh. You looked for much and behold little. And when you brought it home, then I blew on it. Why, declares Yahweh of hosts? Because my house that is ruined, and you, each man, runs to his own house, right? So are we doing that? Is Yahweh's house laying in ruined when each of us are only worried about our own things? On account of this, the heavens above have held back the dew, and the earth is held back from her produce. And I called for drought in the land and on the mountains and on the grain and on the new wine and on the oil and on that that the ground produces and on man and on livestock and on all the labor of your hands. And this is where we're heading into now. We're just coming out of a pandemic, right? Which won't be over for a long time to come, but at least it's slowing down now. But there is a very good chance just in a few months later this year that there's drought. And it's not just that people are prophesying drought from somewhere. It's because of what's happened in the months before and now. The weather patterns. And rain is being withheld. And food prices are soaring. And the different things that's going on. And this is why in our communities we're storing up in Joseph's storehouse. Because like he said, Yahweh's going to hold back. He's going to hold back. And that's the next thing people are going to start seeing. Worldwide drought and famine. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of Yahweh their Elohim and the words of Haggai the prophet, as Yahweh their Elohim had sent them. And the people feared before Yahweh, and it always gets back to the first mandate for the kingdom of Yahweh is the fear of Yahweh. If you don't have the fear of Yahweh, there's nowhere to go from there. And I don't understand how any human being that is made of flesh and blood, that gets sick, that hurts, you know, that knows he's going to die, how any human being cannot have the fear of Yahweh. It's just blind stupidity not to have the fear of Yahweh, but most people don't. Most people don't because their pride won't allow them to. So the people feared before Yahweh, and Haggai, the messenger of Yahweh, spoke the message of Yahweh to the people saying, I am with you, says Yahweh. Wow. Isn't that great for us to know in the times we're living in today that Yahweh is with us? How do we know for sure? Because it's his work. It's his work. It's not our own. And he is with his work. So as long as you're with that work, Yahweh is with you. As long as you're out on your own and you're only worried about your own paneled houses and your own things, then Yahweh's not with you. But Yahweh is with you if you're with his work. And Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Yehoshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. Wow, see what it is? It's a collective work. It's all of us working together in community toward that same work. And it's interesting because this is a type, Zerubbabel and Jehozadak are types of the two witnesses. And it says at the end time, as the two witnesses come and the people are working and Yahweh's spirit is being poured out, and Yahweh is with them because they're working on the house of Yahweh, which we are. Not talking about a physical building. It's talking about the spiritual building. It's talking about we're looking for each other, out for each other, and we're building the work of Yahweh, and more people are coming into this work, and we're nurturing these people and caring for these people and helping the people in building the house of Yahweh. So it's time to build the house of Yahweh, and we are living pieces, each of us are living pieces of that work. The Laodicean era, people look toward their own things. It's that simple. So anyone who doesn't want to be part of something bigger than themselves, anybody who doesn't want to work collectively toward this, they're not part of the work of Yahweh. They're not part of the family of Yahweh. It's just selfish intentions. And there's only one road that that goes to, and that's the lake of fire. Let's go to 1 Peter 2, because let's see this. This is extremely important, because people could look at this and think it's about a physical building, like when Jerusalem had the Yahweh sanctuary that was built there by Solomon, but he's not talking about a physical building. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, he says, "You also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yeshua Messiah." So we are living stones in that spiritual house. We are living stones. As it is said in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion an elect, a precious stone, a cornerstone," chief cornerstone, "and the one believing in him shall not be ashamed. Then it is to you who believe that this honor is given." Then it is to you who believe this honor is given, right? Because unless you have faith, right, Hebrews 11:6, you know, you can't please Yahweh. So the ones who do believe in Yahweh and believe what he's saying and believe in his word and are working in faith, because you're not seeing your reward now, the same way that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and the apostles, they haven't received their reward, right? We all receive it together, like it says in Hebrews 11:39-40. But they did the work. They worked for Yahweh to their last breath. So like it says, as I said, in the scripture, as it said in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion an elect, a precious stone, a chief cornerstone, and the ones believing him shall not be ashamed. Then it is to you who believe that this honor is given. But to disobeying ones, he is the stone which those building rejected. This one became the head of the corner." Right? So this is where you have to decide. Where do you stand? Are you one of the ones believing that are doing the work of Yahweh? Or are you one of the ones rejecting it? That's moving aside. And I think the only thing worse than the ones rejecting it are the ones claiming they believe and not doing it. Because that's what Yahweh hates more than anything. That's the Laodicean. "He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and they stumble at it because they believe not the word for which they were appointed," right? He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, right? That's what we said. We've entered a 2,000-year-old persecuted body, and they stumble at it. Why? Because they believe not the word. There's no faith there to make the move for which they were appointed, right? That's what we're appointed. What he's talking about, his work, his body. "But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy people, a kadosh people," right? "And a people for possession." Possession of who? Possession of Yeshua, possession of Yahweh. "That you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness to his precious light." And there is no greater way than to proclaim the promises of Yahweh and the praises of Yahweh except by bringing this good news to somebody else. Because if you really feel that way, if you really praise Yahweh every day of your life for what he's doing in your life, you can't help but share it with other people. It's automatic that it happens that way. "To whom then were not a people, but now are the people of Yahweh, who had not obtained mercy, but who now have mercies poured out upon you." Wow. So this is, like we said, this is the whole reason why in the end time that Yahweh is not destroying the whole world, because he does have a people that are bringing this good news, and he does have a people that are working, and he does have a people who do love him and put him first. And like I said, I'm amazed that in the last year, as the world was locked down, many third world countries, I mean, you couldn't even leave your cities and your areas, and the work of Yahweh, at least in our little congregation worldwide, has grown more in the last year than I can remember any other year prior to this. I mean, it's just amazing how much that Yahweh has been blessing us. And we are living stones in the house of Yah. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. But we are also collectively in this. It's not a competition with each other. It's not that we're trying to work against each other to see who can do the most. No, it's a collective effort that all of us are working together, and then we'll receive together. Look at here. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6 says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I planted, Apollo watered, but Yahweh made to increase. So then neither he who plants or he who waters deserves the credit, but Yahweh gives the increase. Thus the planter and the waterer are equal, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Right? You're going to receive, you're going to reap what you sow. So even though it's a collective work that we're all working together, if you don't do any work, you're not going to receive anything. You have to bear fruit toward your account. For we work together with Yahweh. You are Yahweh's work, and you are a building of Yahweh. And behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to give each according to his work. Oh no, I'm sorry, that's another scripture there. But I want to go back to verse 8. Thus the planter and the waterer are equal, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. The planter and the waterer are equal, right? So the fact that I may be the mouthpiece for Yahweh, that I'm here giving the sermon, I'm here reading the scriptures, it doesn't make my importance any more to Yahweh than the person out there who may be praying for the widow, or the person out there who may be doing behind-the-scenes stuff for the website, or helping with whatever it might be, right? There's all different things. Each of us have different jobs. Each of us has different gifts. So it's not just the one who is seen on the video that has more importance, like he says here, because we all work together. The planter and the waterer are equal, but each will receive his reward according to what he did. So there's a lot of brethren that people don't even see the work that they're doing or what they're doing, but it doesn't mean their reward is going to be taken away whatsoever. It's not just about numbers and new people, even though Yahweh is blessing the congregation now with many, many new members. But it's not just about numbers and new people, but about nurturing those already in the body, right? Like I said, not everyone is an evangelist or a pastor, but we each use our gift toward the same goal of bearing fruit for the kingdom. So where I see my fruit all the time, because, like I said, every week we get letters, we get people contacting us. They want to join the congregation, or they want an elder to contact them. So not everybody will do that. Not everybody is going to get contacted, you know. But you have no idea when you're putting up flyers, you know, at diners or Walmarts, or you're going out and you're witnessing out there. You have no idea what kind of fruit it's bearing in the long run. You know, there's people that may be contacting me because of a flyer somebody else put out, or something that somebody did. And the other thing is, there's several ways to bear fruit. Bearing fruit is not just bringing a brand new person to change their ways and repent and come into the faith. Like I say, nurturing those that are in the body is also bearing fruit. Because Yahweh's not, he's not a multi-level marketer. Yahweh's not Amway. He's not just about bringing in numbers and trying to get new numbers in the congregation. Yahweh is about substance. Yahweh is about nurturing the people that are there. So when people have ministries within the congregation of helping widows, right? Maybe helping people with families, or maybe you have a ministry of encouragement, you know, that you spend so much time a week encouraging other people. This is all fruit that's being born. It's all fruit, because it's more important to Yahweh to nurture somebody that's already in the truth so they don't fall away, than even bringing in a new person that never made that commitment yet. But both of it is toward bearing fruit, and it's all of it bearing fruit toward us. Some help financially, right? Even above tithes and offerings. Others may have the gift of writing. Some people can write articles and do things. Others are good with computers. And many will not know how much fruit they actually bore until the kingdom comes. Helping the poor, right? The homeless, widows, praying for the work of Yahweh, all bearing fruit. I know there's people that every time I go on a mission trip, they're praying for me around the world, 24 hours a day. I have somebody praying for me somewhere. And they're prayer warriors. That's what they're doing. They have that gift that they do that. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 and let's see this. Because I think sometimes brethren don't understand this. Because sometimes brethren will contact me and they'll ask me, oh, I don't know my gift, or I don't know how to bear fruit, or what does this mean? But like I said, it's a collective effort. It's a collective effort. Not everybody's a teacher, and you know what? Everyone shouldn't be a teacher. It says in the book of Jacob, be not many teachers, for your condemnation is greater. I have a greater condemnation from Yahweh, because if I say the wrong thing or I teach the wrong thing, I'm bringing judgment on myself. So everyone doesn't have to be a teacher, you know? And in the world of commercial Babylon, and in the Oprah Winfrey spirit, you could say, you know, the talk show mentality spirit, everybody wants to be the speaker. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants their name to be out there. And that's not what it's about. Because Yahweh says when you're doing your alms, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, right? So it's not about just being the speaker out there, putting your name on an article or whatever it may be. It's about the message. And all of us need that. I know, I mean, I couldn't do this work by myself. How on earth could I? And the only way that this work has grown into a worldwide work what it is today is because I realized that way back in the beginning. And I realized unless I train other people and I train other elders, unless I make congregations in places and I lay a foundation, you know what? It's only going to be about me. It's only going to be about what I bring to the table. But the fact that I was able to have Yahweh's Spirit teach me that, and able to use my administration skills to set up the Bible school and to train elders and to set up congregations all over the world, that's the reason now why Yahweh is able to do this work. So we have to think about that. In Corinthians 12 and verse 4, Corinthians 12 and verse 4, he says, there are diversity of gifts, but there is only one Spirit, just like I'm saying here, right? We have different gifts, but there's one Spirit. There are diversity of ministries, yet Yahweh is first. There are diversity of powers, but the same Elohim is working all things in all. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit as a help to him. For through the Spirit is given to one a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge, another according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another workings of power, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of languages, and to another interpretation of languages. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing separately to each as he wills. Even as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body being many are one body, and so is Messiah. So, like I said, we all have different gifts. Some may be more visible than others, but we're all working toward the same goal. Doesn't mean they're necessarily more important because they're more visible, right? We're all working toward the same goal of bearing fruit for the kingdom. And I like to look at it like an assembly line, right? If you have an assembly line, let's say you're putting together a car. Maybe the guy that has the motor, because the motor is the most important thing of a car can't run without a motor, but a car also won't run without a radiator. You know, and a car can't run without the ignition button on it. So each of us have a different part, but no matter what part you are on that assembly line, if you don't do your job, that car either isn't going to run at all, or it certainly ain't going to run good. You know, so that's why each of us has to make sure we're doing our part in that assembly. And we're not assembling a car, we're assembling the body of Messiah. So Yahweh has given each of us spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, Yahweh has inspired through his Ruach HaKodesh to give the gifts as it sees fit. And now we have to use those gifts for building the body of Messiah. John 4 and verse 34. John 4 and verse 34. John 4 and verse 34. Yeshua said to them, my food is that I should do the will of him who sent me and that I may finish his work. Do not say that after 4 months comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields that they are white and have ripened for the harvest already. And this is happening when? In the Shemitah year. And it's around Shavuot, the same time as it is right now. And what's happening? They didn't harvest because it was a Shemitah year. And all the fields were already ripe. And Yeshua is saying, do not say that after 4 months comes the harvest, because they couldn't harvest until after Yom Teruah, right? He's saying, behold, lift up your eyes and look, it's already white. And that's what he's saying now. Don't say, okay, you know, in a couple of years when my kids get older, well, after I pay off my house, or maybe after this happens, you know. Don't say that. Now is the time. Look up. The harvest is white. Yahweh is calling people all over the world. Now is like the last message to go out. And he that reaps receives a wage and gathers fruit unto life that is eternal, right? And he that reaps receives a wage and gathers fruit unto life that is eternal. And the sower and the reaper together will rejoice. For in this the word is true, that another is the one sowing and another is the one reaping. I have sent you to reap over what you did not labor over. I have sent you to reap what you have not labored over. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor, right? So it's like a relay race. You run so fast, you give the baton to the next person. He runs so fast and he gives it to the next person. And here we are. So there's no competition, you know? There's no competition. And that's why the materials that the Church of God had from 50 or 80 years ago, you know, even 100 years ago, we used some of those materials. Because you know where they got it from? They got it from the Church of God Seventh Day in the 1800s. Where did they get it from? They got it from the Waldenses, who got it from the Paulicians, who got them from the apostles. So it doesn't, we don't have to keep recreating the wheel. You know, we could use whatever is there. Doesn't matter if it's a flyer that somebody else used. If it's a good flyer and it's truth, hand it out. That's what it's about. People write me all the time. And, you know, they'll ask me for permission to use our Bible with something or use this here. And it's like, man, if as long as you don't change the context of it, as long as you're using it to bring the good news, use anything. Use anything we have. Because like it says here, right? There's one that reaped and there's one that's sowing. And we are now reaping where somebody else sowed. This is a 2,000-year-old work. And there's been a lot of laying of ground for us to be where we are today. And I could be dead tomorrow. You could be dead tomorrow. So it doesn't make a difference. You know, it's not your work. It's not what you did. It's not what I wrote, right? Use any of my books. Use any of our things. Use them. As long as you don't change anything and pervert the meaning, use everything for the kingdom. That's what it's there for. Praise Yahweh. So, like I said, like a relay race, there's no competition. We're all into the same work and we're working together. Romans 8 and verse 28. And what an amazing, you know, as we're here at Shavuot, what an amazing time to think of Yahweh calling us. Can you imagine? Of Yahweh adopting us into his family, because like I said, many are called and few are chosen, you know. And we are sitting in these chairs today, and we are part of that. Romans 8:28 says, but we know that the ones loving Elohim, all things work together for good, for those being called according to purpose, right? So that's why we're not worried about our trials. We're not worried about our suffering. We're not worried about our sicknesses or anything else, because it all works for the good. Whatever Yahweh has allowed in our life, he's allowing it to change us if we would just stop fighting him. And he knew them in advance, and he sealed them with the likeness of the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. But whom he marked in advance, right? Not the mark of the beast, but the mark of Yahweh, right? He marked us with his spirit. These he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And that's what we want to do. We want to go from called to chosen to faithful, right? Going from called to chosen to faithful. What then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Right? If Yahweh be for us, like I was reading a little while ago in Deuteronomy, you know, when it says, if you're obedient to Yahweh, then people will fear you. They'll see that Yahweh's mark is on you. They'll see, like with Abraham, he's one man. And yet, well, anywhere he went, even kings had to be careful how they treated him. Because Yahweh was with them. If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Truly, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up on behalf of us all, how will he not freely give all things to us with him? Who will bring any charge against the elect of Elohim? Yahweh is the one justifying. Who is he condemning? It is Messiah who has died, but rather also is raised, who is at the right hand of Yahweh, who also makes intercession on our behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And I say, or pandemic, you know, or plague? Even as it has been written, for your sake we are killed all the day. We are counted as lambs for the slaughter. Right? We die to ourselves daily. We're dying to ourselves. We're dying to ourselves, our pride, our own ambitions, and living to the kingdom of Yahweh. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him loving us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor cherubs, nor rulers, nor armies, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh and Messiah Yeshua our Master. Praise Yahweh. Amen. Wow. So how much love Yahweh has for us to adopt us as his children into his eternal inheritance. Hebrews 2, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 2, verse 1 and 2. Actually, 1 through 3, and then I'll drop down to verse 9. For this reason, it is needful for us more abundantly to take heed to the things having been heard, so that we should not fall away. Right? There's people falling away. There's always been people falling away, but that's why you have to take heed to the things you're hearing so you don't fall away. For if the word spoken by cherubs was confirmed, and every transgression and disobedience received a just repayment, how shall we escape if we neglect the very things which are our salvation, right? How will we escape if we don't do the work of Yahweh, we don't finish this work, if we don't do everything that he's blessed us with, how will we escape? Which having received a beginning to be spoken through our master was confirmed to us by the ones hearing, right? By his word it was confirmed. Drop down to verse 9. But we do see Yeshua, who humbled himself to become a little lower than the cherubs through his suffering and his death, but now is crowned with glory and honor, so that he tasted death for the sake of everyone except Yahweh. For it was fitting for him, because of whom are all things, and through whom are all things, having brought many sons to glory, so that from the very beginning of their salvation they are made perfect through sufferings, just like I was saying. For both the one sanctifying and the one being sanctified are all of one nature, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will announce your name to my brethren, I will praise you in the midst of the congregation. And again, I will be trusting on him. Again, behold, me and the children whom Elohim gave to me. So, right? So Yeshua came as flesh and blood because Yahweh made us flesh and blood. And he's not ashamed to call us brothers because we're part of his very body. He is then, and we're part of his very body, and we're doing the very work that he commissioned us to do. He didn't just commission the 12 apostles and the believers at that time. He commissioned all believers from the time that he gave that commission to the time he returns. And here we are. Everything, like I said, with Yahweh comes full circle. It comes full circle, right? And just like the Holy Spirit was poured out by the apostles on the first Shavuot, the Holy Spirit is poured out on us on the days we're living in now. Wow. So let's go to Joel 2. Let's go to Joel 2. And we'll read this, and then we'll read it from the book of Acts. Joel 2, in verse 23. He says, be glad then, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he has given to you the early rain according to righteousness, and he will cause the rain to come down on you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month. Right? The early rain was the apostles on that first Shavuot. The latter rain now is being poured out on us in the end. Yahweh works in the circular, like I always say. And then he talks about the floors being full with grain and wine vats overflowing with wine and oil. Right? Just like we said, the wine represents the blood of Yeshua, the oil, the Holy Spirit. And it's all being brought out. And he says he's going to restore all the time that was lost, all the things, the spiritual things that were lost, are being restored in the times we're living in now, if we just accept these promises. Now drop down to verse 28. And it shall be afterward, talking about the end times we're living in now, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And I will pour out my spirit on the slaves and the slave girls in those days. And I will give signs in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming and the great and awesome day of Yahweh. And here we are, right? Talking about eclipses, that we've already seen a lot of these things. And when he's talking about his spirit being poured out on the slaves and the slave girls, he's talking about the poor. Why is the spirit, the Ruach, being poured out more on the third world today than on other places? Because the scripture says it, because they're more humble. They're more humble to seek Yahweh. For it shall be, verse 32, whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh will be saved, for salvation will be in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh will call. The message started in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago on that first Shavuot, and we've come full circle in 2,000 years. And that's why the message that we bring today, it's the message from the original apostles from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. This is happening now. This is the latter rain. The harvest is coming to fruition. Like I've said before, you could plant, you could plow, and then you could plant. You can get the early rain. You could have the plant coming up. You can get the regular rain where the plant comes up, and you have the grain in the ear. But if you don't get the latter rain, that fruit will never come to fruition. You have to have the latter rain. And that's the same now. Look at everything that has happened for the last almost 2,000 years until today. And Yahweh's work has gone just according to plan. And now it's the last lap. And now we're getting the baton. Now the relay is on the last run. And it's given to us. And we have to give our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength. Because you want to know something? The last runner in a relay race is the fastest and the most conditioned. He's the one, because he can't fail. If somebody fails, if he's the first runner or the second or the third and he fails, well, maybe they can make it up as they keep running around. But the last runner, he's the one that has to be the best one. And he's got to make up for all of it. And here we are today, right? The latter rain is happening. The harvest is coming to fruition. All over the world, people are coming to faith. Praise Yahweh. We must dedicate our lives to Yahweh and his work before it is too late. We only have a short time left. Look how things have changed, right, in the last year and a half with COVID. Opportunities that may have been lost before, now that we don't have free travel anymore. Some opportunities may never come back, right? And that's why I'm telling you, for I can't tell you how many years that I overworked myself, did more trips than I should have done. But I am so thankful for every trip I did. I am so thankful for every single brick that I laid there, for every piece of the foundation, because I'll probably never be able to, not that I'll never be able to travel anywhere, but I'm not going to be able to travel like I did before. And when vaccination passports come, forget about it. So if you've been doing the work of Yahweh, praise Yahweh for that. But if you haven't, you may have lost some opportunities, but there's still some left. There's still time. We have to do it, because the door will be closing very, very shortly. And you'll never get the opportunities back that you're losing, but there are still others that are still before us for a short time more. We must have eyes to see them. We are the only work on the face of the earth today bringing the original good news message from Jerusalem, having our congregation planted from Jerusalem. There's no other congregation that does that. And this is why our work is important, because we have the right message, right? We want to build the right character. And that's what's, like I said, sad sometimes when you see people like Amish that could have better character than we do and they don't have the message. But we have the message and we have to bring this to the world. Acts, the second chapter. A few more scriptures, we'll be finished. Acts 2 and verse 1. When we look at the last Shavuot. Or the first Shavuot, rather. The first Shavuot. Acts 2. It says, "And the fulfilling of the day of Shavuot," the fulfilling of it. They were all with one mind in the same place, right? They were at Kad. They were united. They all had their focus on the same thing, the same goal. "And suddenly a sound came out of the heavens as a groaning spirit along by a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues of fire appeared to them, being distributed, and it sat on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit," the Ruach HaKodesh. and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave ability for them to speak. And Jews were living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation of those under the heaven. And when that sound occurred, all the people gathered and were perplexed, because they were hearing each man among them who were speaking in their own language. Wow. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, we can't grasp this. Are not all these those speaking Galileans? And how do we hear each of our own language in which we were born?" And then he goes on to say, from where the people were from, and verse 12, "And all were amazed and puzzled, saying to one another, what could this be?" And it was the original outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And why did they have to hear in their own language? Because they wouldn't have understood the message. Today, we have people, brethren, all over the world that speak. But what are the people hearing? They're hearing a new language. That language is the word of Yahweh. When we bring this message worldwide, we're speaking in a different language. We're speaking in the language of Yahweh. They're hearing things that they've never heard in their life. And you don't know how many times people have written me and said that. Wow, when I listen to your sermons or going over the letters and you're going line upon line and precept upon precept and you're putting the word of Yahweh there. And I'm not just telling you baptism, it says to be baptized in the Bible. I'm giving you every single scripture and putting them together and showing you the proper baptism and what's not proper. Because it's the language of the word of Yahweh. And that's what he's given us by his Spirit in these end times that we're living in. The first Shavuot, let's drop it down to verse 36. And what came out of this? "Then assuredly let all the house of Israel acknowledge that Yahweh made known the same Yeshua whom you crucified. He is both Yahweh and Messiah." And in the original Aramaic, it says he is Yahweh and Messiah. I've had people, a couple people write me in the past, say, "I'm adding to the word." No, I'm not. The Greek is taken away from the word. In the original Aramaic, the original book of Acts written by Luke, it says he is both Yahweh. Yeshua is both Yahweh and Messiah, and that's there from Yahweh. Yahweh the Son, not Yahweh the Father. They're not the same being, but they have the same Spirit. "And hearing, they were touched in the heart and said to Simon Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Yeshua Yahweh, for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Spirit of holiness." Right? That's what's being poured out in the end times. Every year from 2015, the Spirit is being magnified. And our congregations are growing in Ikad. They're growing in unity. They're building. Not all of them. There's some that are having problems, you know, because they're not submitting to the Spirit of Yahweh. But the vast majority are, and they are growing. "Because the promise is to you and your children and all those afar off, as many as the Master of our Elohim may call. And with many other words, he earnestly testified and exhorted, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation." And I'm saying the same to you. I'm giving you many words and I'm testifying and telling you, be saved from this perverse generation. Come out of her, my people, that you not receive of her sins or partake in her sins and receive of her plague. It's time for us to come out of the world. "And some of them readily received his words and believed and were baptized. And there were added in that day about 3,000 souls. And they were continuing steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostles and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." They were all Ikad. Just like we're seeing today, we have more than 20 communities worldwide. We have more being built this year. And they're growing and growing and growing and living in Ikad, submitting to one another and getting ready for the days ahead. "And fear came to every soul, and signs and many mighty deeds occurred by the hands of the apostles in Jerusalem. And all the believers were Ikad and had all things in common. And they sold possessions and goods and distributed them to all according as anyone had need." That's what living in common is about. It's about sharing. It's about sharing our mammon, but also sharing our gifts that we have, physical gifts. "And continuing steadfastly with one mind day by day in the sanctuary and breaking bread from house to house, they shared food in gladness and simplicity of heart. They were praising Yahweh while finding favor before all the people. And every day our master would add to those who lived among the congregation." And I could say that today. Every day, every week, Yahweh is adding to the congregation because he's blessing his work. And that work is the most important work on the planet today. Wow, what an amazing time. What an amazing time that we see here. And like I said, Yahweh works in the circular And the work that started 2,000 years ago has come full circle, and we are finishing that work today. Matthew 20th chapter. Two more scriptures. Matthew 20 and verse 1. Matthew 20 and verse 1. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man, a housemaster, who went out when it was early to hire workers into his vineyard. And he bargained with the laborers for a denarius per day, and he sent them to his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the market. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just.' And they went. And again, going out the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, he did the same. And going out the 11th hour, he found others standing idle, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and you will receive what is just.' But evening having come, the master of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the workers and pay them the wage, beginning from the last to the first.' And the ones having come the 11th hour each received the denarius," right? They received the same as the ones who worked the brunt of the day, because in the end time we're living in now, it's all about salvation and being a first fruit in Yahweh's kingdom. And you know what? As true first fruits, I'm happy that people can be called in that last hour and get the same reward that I'll get, as long as they're doing the work of Yahweh, because there's no competition. We're all in it the same. And if Yahweh can call people in this 11th hour and those people can go out and bear fruit and save souls that we're going to go to the lake of fire, then praise Yahweh. They should get everything they deserved, right? We should be happy for that. We're living in this time, and Yahweh is going to the highways and the byways. And if we work in just this small period, and it's no more, it's not 100 years, it's not 50 years, you know, it's not even probably 20 years, and probably not even 10, but who knows. But just these next few short years, if we do the work of Yahweh, you will get rewarded for eternity. That's what he says right here. You will get rewarded for eternity. And for people that are part of the congregation of Yahweh and are not doing any work for Yahweh whatsoever, shame on them. And you'll get, you know, because Yeshua is going to reward everybody according to their work. And if there's no work and there's no fruit, there's no reward. All I can do is warn. All I can do is encourage. But in the end of the day, you know, you got to get up and you got to do it. You got to be able to do it. And I mean, like I said, what an amazing work we have. What an exciting work we have. The things that Yahweh is doing, the miracles that he's performing, and just the fact that the end result of our work isn't building a physical building as beautiful as the sanctuary of Solomon may have been. We are building a spiritual house of Yahweh. We are helping people go from death to life, and what could be more exciting than that? The last scripture is Revelation 22, verse 12 through 14. "And behold, I am coming soon," Yeshua is speaking, "and my reward is with me to give each according to his work. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last," right? Everything in the circular. "Blessed are the ones doing his commandments, that their authority will be over the tree of life, and that they may enter by the gates of the city." Our reward for eternity is before us. Are we ready to finish this great work of Yah? What a great Shavuot. Shavuot is a great time because, like I said, it's almost like our Independence Day. It's a happy day. It's a time that the New Testament congregation started. It's a time where we can look at our beginnings, like it talks about in Isaiah 54. Go back to the rock that you